I want me some glory hope.
Prescott, he starts to come and then he pulls out.
How about them Cowboys?
With the boys, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. Try to make that as like an official sounding, as official sounding as possible, while also leading into the cheese. I don't know if it was successful. I don't know. ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5. Brian McDonald, Sean Mapes, and AJ Russ in for Paul Gallant. And it's time to talk about those Cowboys, as Jimmy Johnson once said. But first, a few texts in on this AJ confidence about his Cowboys not getting swept by the Eagles. From eight, I think this is all coming from one person. From 8022, AJ has a weird allegiance to losers. AJ, you gotta.
Oh, my feelings are hurt.
Oh, man. He just likes the Cowboys.
Yeah, he just likes the Cowboys.
he likes other winners.
From 8924, at least Tony Romo wasn't Quincy Carter. True.
That is true.
Quincy Carter made a playoff, though. So
yeah, no, Romo
he wasn't good, but he made
was
a playoff.
Good quarterback. Yeah, I just mean the documentary, each of the beats were negative. Like, yeah, every time they went to commercial break, it was something depressing.
The tease was always, yeah. Coming up, he fumbles again. Yeah, exactly. All right, so we got the bet now from 8022. We'll see if AJ accepts the bet.
That is
Here's my Twitter handle. I should give it out, right? I don't think he cares. He sent it to the text line. All right, his Twitter handle is at Space City, HODL, if you want to hit him up, AJ. His bet to you, AJ, loser of the bet has to drink a bottle of hot sauce on camera. You taking this bet?
I actually love hot sauce. Though,
okay.
Let's do it. But I'm not going to have to do it, though.
All right.
I'm not going to have to do it.
Oh, you're not going to do it?
I'm not going to have to do it because you're not getting swept.
There you go. All right. So hit him up. Again, it's at Space
City. Wait. Okay. So this is if as long as Dak Prescott doesn't get hurt, though.
Okay.
I think that's fair.
So terms are... Dallas Cowboys do not get swept by the Eagles.
Right. With Dak playing both games.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. All right. I think we've got a bet. A split or a
Dallas sweep, which we don't want to rule out, folks. I'm okay ruling that out. But then the...
Space City HODL.
Yes. He has to chug the
If Dak plays both games and wins either one... Then Space City HODL has to chug a bottle of hot sauce on camera.
He could be cooked in 43 days.
Man, AJ's got some confidence.
They played week one.
Yeah. This is fun. Do we have in? No, that's actually someone else.
You agreed to chugging hot sauce very quick. I will say that.
I love hot sauce.
Yeah, he definitely leaned in.
But you're also 23.
So. Yeah.
someone else who should chug a bottle of hot sauce, so perhaps he'll quit talking. How about that transition, huh? Jerry Jones
might kill the old man.
well, some Cowboys fans might be happy about that. But anyway, Jerry Jones was talking, saying words. Unfortunately,
he was talking
I think.
A lot.
Yeah, he talks a lot. Never shied away from a camera or a microphone. Jerry Jones talking about getting asked about the Micah Parsons contract situation. This first quote we're here right now, AJ. Let's play the one. Should have waited on Diggs and Steele.
Well, you kind of wait for it a little bit. You've done deals, though, really, with Trayvon Diggs, with Terrence Steele before it was time for it. What's the difference between those situations and a situation like CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons?
Frankly, shouldn't we have waited on Diggs and Steele? Oh, you brought them up. I did.
Well, the other thing is the willingness. I mean, you have players who are... who decide, hey, I'm willing to wait. And I'm going to wait on bigger numbers. And then you got other players who want to be more conservative and say, hey, I'd like to have my money now. And that's every person's different. Every player's different.
I love that Stephen Jones had to step in for Dad and...
take the wheel.
Yeah, like take the wheel. Like, I think it's time to take the keys away from Grandpa because Jerry Jones' response to... I would say a fair question from the reporter there was to crap on two other players on his roster by saying, like, yeah, maybe we shouldn't have signed those guys early. Like, your answer to why are you handling Micah Parsons this way is, well, because those two guys over there suck or not living up to the contract.
Yeah, just haven't been available.
And thankfully, Stephen Jones like, well, it's actually because some players' motivations are different. Dad, please, put down the microphone. Two more quotes from Jerry Jones. These are, I think, the more fun ones here. But Jerry Jones talking about Micah Parsons, and you know, he might not even play the whole season.
Just because we sign him doesn't mean we're going to have him. He was hurt six games last year.
Facts.
Seriously.
Seriously?
We've signed, I remember signing a player for the highest paid at the position in the league, and he got knocked out two-thirds of the year, Dak Prescott. So there's a lot of things you can think about when you, just as the player does, when you're thinking about committing and guaranteeing money.
Grandpappy Jerry, man. Like, again, his response to a Micah Parsons thing is crap on Dak Prescott. Like that, like, why are we letting this man? I'm thankful he's in front of the microphone because it's providing us content.
And factually correct.
Well, no, because Micah Parsons didn't actually miss six games.
Yeah, it was four.
He missed four. Dak missed a bigger chunk of the season. But like we might not even have him. Micah Parsons missed six games. Well, no, he didn't. And two, yes, that is the understood risk with signing anybody in football. You've got 53 guys on the game day roster, or the 47 because the inactives, but all those guys could get hurt on any given play, and you'd be paying them to be hurt and not play. That is the understood given risk with every player that's ever played the game.
But only two, and then soon to be three of them, will be the highest paid player at their position on the Cowboys.
All right, another one from Jerry. Jerry gives the craziest what if to a Micah Parsons question I've ever heard. Go ahead, AJ.
The other thing I would say is contracts are 4 or 5 years. Okay? There's a lot of water under the bridge if you step out there and do something in the first two or three. You can get hit by a car. Seriously. And so there's a lot to look at over a lot of years that could make a big difference. Have you ever heard of any clubs committing to players and then they didn't pan out after they committed to them?
I have.
We have.
I love that. I just want to imagine the scenario that Jerry Jones is in, you know, the war room there in Arlington or wherever. And they're talking about players they might want to re-sign or sign from free agency or draft. And it's like, well, I think this guy's more likely to get hit by a car. We gotta factor that in. Like, I don't know about Micah. He could get hit by a car.
I mean, they can't draft Georgia players.
Yes.
Like, they just can't.
Do that research. Have they drafted a Georgia player in the last 5 years? Because,
I mean, Pickens went to Georgia.
That's true. That's true. They traded
a little
for
bit
Georgia
before.
Player.
A little bit before.
Before the rash of, yeah, now they
Tokyo
got
drift.
Now they've got recruits or not even stepped on the field yet or even having that problem.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's right.
He could get hit by a car.
Hey, did someone in this room into a car wreck in the last 24 hours?
That's true. I got hit by a car.
Walk into Joe's office. He's like, I'm sorry, we can't give you the guaranteed money.
Yeah, I love that you think I would walk down and talk to Joe for the guaranteed money. I think I'd walk a little further down the hall. But I just love the lot. Again, going back to the last things, like, well, he missed games. Like, yes, everybody on your roster, Jerry, Grandpa Jones, could get hit by a car. That's not a reason to not sign the player.
It's nice to not live in a walkable city.
Yeah, it's true. Less risk here because we're not walking from wherever
we live to
NRG.
If I get hit by a car, I'm in my car for the most part.
Yeah, for the most part.
I guess the parking lot's pretty treacherous sometimes. But
especially with that ramp. Like, you can't really see when you go up the ramp.
The blind.
If you're right there at the right next to the ramp, you're definitely in a danger zone.
There's
somewhere.
A couple blind turns, too.
Yeah, there is.
Well,
there is.
They're not actually blind turns. People decide to take them blind. but
they take them blind, right, yeah.
You can't see.
All right, so as you would expect, Micah Parsons had a response. Let's hear from Micah Parsons about what Jerry had to say.
Some teams or guys like Max, he's like, man, they knew I was coming up and they just want to take care of me. And I just say, must be nice, you know what I mean?
Is it hard to be patient to try to get a deal?
Oh, no, patience is a virtue. But I think it's key to patience. I think life is all about patience, knowing when it's your turn, when it's your opportunity, and then you maximize it.
You always helped him when he's doing the rehab. Are you helping him with the contract? Because you got yours a little early.
Yeah, of course. You know, it's time to stay patient. It's coming. He's the best player in the NFL. Like, why wouldn't you pay him?
Yeah, that other voice you heard was Trevon Diggs there. But, like, he pointed out Max Crosby. And what I think Jerry's missing in all of this, and why I think a lot of Cowboys fans hope Stephen Jones takes over sooner rather than later, is that Jerry Jones keeps pointing out the downside risk with all these possible signings. I mean, we're having fun because he's talking about dudes getting hit with a car, but he's really pointing out that, hey, long-term, big-money contracts don't always play out. Absolutely true. There's lots of guys that you get paid the big money, and it doesn't really, you don't really live up to the standards that you would hope for. But what he's missing in all of this is he's playing, in my opinion, the side with higher risk, because, like, I'd rather be early on a guy and get a value like the Texans did with Nico Collins than wait like he's done with CeeDee, like he did with Dak, like he's doing now with Micah Parsons, and have to pay a bigger contract. Yeah. Like, on both sides, your dude could get hit by a car. But at least with the Texans, if Nico gets hit by a car, they got him like on a $70 million deal versus having to reset the quarterback market at 60 for Dak, pay, you know, CeeDee what he got paid instead of paying him before Justin Jefferson. And now they're doing the same thing with Micah Parsons. Like, there's so much opportunity to lower your risk and lower the investment if you get to the market early rather than having to pay guys more because you're having to top whatever happened right before that.
And especially, you know, using the Nico Collins example from the Texans, like, he got that contract out off of 1 year.
1 year
of, you know, A-level receiver production. And so part of that is they got a little bit of a discount because he wasn't entrenched as, like, one of the best 10, 5, whatever receivers in the league like he is now in all the receivers lists. And for a guy like Micah Parsons, for a guy like CeeDee Lamb, and Dak Prescott too, these are guys that you knew pretty early was someone that you would want to invest the next contract in. Like, these aren't the, like, you know, Tua or Trevor Lawrence, like, I kind of need to hold my nose and sign this contract.
Right.
Because,
yes,
you know, we're kind of, you know, it's the classic, like, well, you don't want to have, you don't want to let this guy walk and not have a quarterback. So, you know, bro, I guess we're just going to have to sign this deal. Like, Dak Prescott's above that level of quarterback.
Oh, for certain. He's at least the top 10 quarterback.
And you knew that, I mean, shoot, like, after his rookie year.
Yeah.
Yeah, you knew that.
Yeah,
he
was, like, 24 touchdowns, 4 interceptions his rookie year. Like,
yeah.
To expand upon your point, or the points we're both making, like, not only is there an advantage to being able to save money because you get to the market early and you get to set the market versus having to top what the market is already set. And then if something does go bad, like if you get hit by a car, as Jerry points out, then you're paying less money to the guy that got hit by a car than you would if you waited and had to set a new market.
Never mind what if no one gets hit by a car?
What is going on in Arlington, Fort Worth, and Dallas? That are there players? Are they getting hit by cars on the regular? What is going on there?
No, I don't know. I don't think so. Nothing jumps to mind.
Nothing jumps to mind.
There's that one fight among those like 5 women. Frisco.
I'll be in the Dallas area next month. I'll let you know.
Yeah, let me know. There's just dudes getting hit by cars all over the place.
Try not to get clipped.
Yeah, we might have to watch. Is Live PD been in Dallas? We might have to watch that if dudes are just getting hit all the time. No, but, like, the other point of that is, like, to what you said, like, not only is there an opportunity to save money and lower your risk if they get hurt, but as you pointed out with Dak Prescott, like, I would get waiting and wanting a guy to prove it if you're unsure about him. But these guys we're talking about, Dak Prescott, they knew right away. CeeDee Lamb, they knew right away. Micah Parsons, they
year
knew.
One.
What, like, if you've gotten to the point, like, if you're in your honest evaluations, which I can't imagine this is not the case because of the caliber of the 3 players we're talking about, if you've gotten to the point of saying, that's our guy, then why are you waiting?
Yeah.
The only thing that's going to happen by you waiting is you paying more.
Yeah.
And hurting the players' feelings.
So, like, recent receivers, like the Niners negotiating with Brandon Ayuk.
Right.
Was that last year, I think?
Yeah. And then he got hurt quickly in the season.
Yeah. Car? Or on the football field?
Jerry was right!
No.
No, he didn't get hit by a car.
But Ayuk was someone who, like, was a second receiver. It doesn't have that, you know, track record.
Yeah, of that CeeDee did.
That CeeDee Lamb does. So, I there's some guys where I understand the hesitancy to hand over this money to him, or at least, like, hey, let's negotiate a little bit. But
not with the guys we're talking about.
The 3
about,
Cowboys
though.
Guys are
yeah,
all,
like, what's the other option? Like, especially with Dak. Like, it's one thing.
Joe Milton, baby.
Sorry?
Joe Milton.
Joe Milton. That's right. I forgot they traded him. They also traded
AJ
for Trey Lance
talking
a few
him
years
up,
ago.
During the break.
Yeah.
Joe said Milton. It was better than...
Bazooka Joe?
Said it was better than Jalen Hurts.
AJ, you didn't. Come on now. AJ didn't. I know he's
he didn't say that.
I know he's a Cowboys fan and delusional by nature, but he's not that delusional. He's not that delusional.
I warned him, though. Like, don't let Joe Milton have a good preseason.
Yeah, they're all going to – it's going to be crazy.
Do you have any hot Trey Lance takes after they traded for him, AJ?
Absolutely not.
No, that's,
I thought it was pointless.
Okay, that's good.
Trash.
That's good.
Super trash.
Why trade for Trey Lance? He could hit – he could get hit by a car. You never know.
Could've.
All right. On the other side of the break, let's talk some. Let's move on for the Cowboys. Enough about the Cowboys. Let's talk about the Texans.
Woo.
What are you most excited about for the Texans this year, their potential? And also, who on the roster are you giving the most side eye to? Who are you most nervous about? Who are you unsure about? That when the Paul Gallant show returns to ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Welcome back in. ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5. Brian McDonald, Sean Mapes, and AJ Russ in for Paul Gallant today. A couple more, three more segments to go. We go to 3 o'clock. Hand it over to Joel and Jeremy on the Killer Bees, and we'll be back on Friday. Will Kunkel and Joe George with you tomorrow live from Cadillac Bar on Shepherd as a part of the our Summer Circus series. Killer Bees will also be there from 3 to 6 as well, so go out and say hi to the fellas. So talking Texans right now, had to move on for the Cowboys. It was fun making fun of Jerry Jones, but yeah, let's get back to a team that I was trying to think of how I could bury the Cowboys, but I have to.
There's one more playoff
game.
Yeah,
I know.
2002.
That's fair, but they haven't made it past second round.
Yeah, they have won a one more playoff game than the
back
Cowboys.
Back division winners.
It doesn't matter, Brian.
Weak division.
Doesn't matter.
I mean,
all right. Yeah. Speak the truth.
No, you got,
I can't just say nothing.
It is the truth. I mean, NFC East is a much better division. All right, but the question this segment, as the Texans return and training camp starts today, it's football time in Houston. Shout out to Clay Walker. What excites you most about the team and their potential this year? For me, Sean, it's that, and I know this is sometimes hard to rectify based upon what happened in CJ Stroud's rookie year, because we were all very excited of what happened that year. But to me, what I'm most excited for is just to have what I hope will be, because there's obviously some unknown here, but a competent play caller with Nick Caley coming over from the Rams to replace Bobby Slowick, because we saw it so many times last year, but I think it was never more, never easier to tell than in that Lions game. Yeah. In prime time, when Za'Darius Smith, who had just gotten there like earlier in the week, wasn't even playing the game, was pointing out like, okay, this is what they're doing with their protection. And I can't remember what broadcast, it might have been that broadcast or maybe it was another one, but there was a broadcast that pointed out that basically where the way the Texans would call protections is they would just, you know, a word with an L or an R to slide left or right to pick up the blitz. But teams were able to figure out that Bobby Slowick was so basic in his approach that if you lined up like an overload on the left, the Texans would slide left, and then you could just send your blitz to the right, and the Texans would never adjust. And that happened game after game. Like, it was week 13,
yeah.
And we were still talking about how the Texans couldn't pick up stunts, couldn't pick up overload blitzes. So I don't know what Nick Caley will be. I don't know if he's a three-wide receiver guy, or maybe he borrows from what the Patriots done. He's a two-tight-end guy, although the Texans don't have great tight ends.
I was going to say, which two?
So the personnel matches much better with the three-wide receiver side of that. Like, I don't know what he'll be. I just know that he's not Bobby Slowick, and that excites me.
I was going to say, I'm not sure if we can say a first-time play caller will definitely be better than Bobby Slowick, but
I don't think he could be worse.
He'll be different.
Yes, yes. That's all I'm really different. Looking for here.
He will be different, and hopefully just the things that, you know, if there's things that he struggles with are just less infuriating and simple than what we had to deal with Bobby Slowick last year. Not just, like, you talking about the protections and stuff, but just, like, how many times was the best offensive series of the game the first one, and then the second half.
Adjust. Remember what we talked about in the second half? Where
the
they
second
went,
half, it was just like punt, 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 punt.
Didn't they go like
Kymie Fairbairn 50-yard field goal?
Didn't they go like a month leading up to the Cowboys game with not scoring an offensive touchdown in the second half or something like that? It was crazy.
Yeah, and so, I expect, you know, at least some improvement there, because there is a little.
It has to be.
There's a little bit of it can't be worse. Although I normally push back on like, well, it could be worse. Like it could always be a little bit worse. But that's definitely something worth being excited about. To me, it's the fact that the Texans might have the best defense in the NFL. Like it's on the table that they have the best defense, at least top five defense in the NFL. And to me, that just sets such a high floor for what this team can be, and to where last year they had a good defense, not great, I would say, but they had a very good defense, a defense that kept them in a lot of these games. And I would say that if this offense can just play, get ready for this, Brian, complimentary football.
Oh,
if
they can, man.
But it is true.
Yeah, just, I know.
If they just can play like a team that has confidence that they have one of the best defenses in football on the other side of the ball, like they can win these games a little bit more stress-free and a little bit more easier just if they do commit to being a defensive team that has an offense that maybe runs the ball a little bit more, or at the very least just isn't going three and out on every possession in the second half of games. If they can shorten games and really just lean on their defense to play a little bit of field position and win games in the margins, like that is such a step up, and you can probably win this division with that alone. Never mind any progression on the offense. Like even if the offense is exactly as bad as they were last year, I think this defense is better to where, I mean, you're probably starting at like 9 wins just with this defense and the schedule they're going to face.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. Like in order to get where they've never been before to where we want them to get to, the offense would have to take a step up.
Yes.
But they can basically just defensively grind you into the dirt and get to 9-10 wins and win this division.
Get sacks,
like, as long as the offense isn't, you know, a detriment to the defense by turning the ball over, putting them in short yardage situations, putting them on the field a bunch because they're having three and outs, then the defense should be able to carry them, you know, nearly on their own to 9-10 wins. So I agree with you there. So on the other side of that, like there's a number of things. I'll just ask you for your one. We don't have time to go over the full list. I know what mine is, and AJ have the Conor McGregor. Is AJ? Yeah, AJ's there. Have the Conor McGregor drop ready. Like, what are you giving the most side eye to? Like, what are you most like, I'm not sure if this is really going to work out. For me, and I don't know if you've seen the depth chart, but it's the depth chart for the outside corner position. Like, we obviously love Derek Stingley and Kamari Lassiter.
Yeah, good start.
Yeah, good start. Great start.
I love that. No notes.
But you look at the rest of that depth chart at the outside corner. Like, okay.
Hit me with it.
Okay, Tremon Smith.
Who the f*** is that guy?
D'Angelo Ross.
I know.
Who the f*** is that guy?
I've heard of him, but
I think he was a training camp standout.
Yeah, I know of him, but still, it's like, I mean, that's who we're depending on?
No, I'm not thrilled that like a Kamari Lassiter like 2-week injury. It's like, D'Angelo Ross, get ready.
And one more guy listed as the direct backup to Kamari Lassiter, Damon Arnett.
Oh.
Who the f*** is that guy?
No, I know. Conor McGregor. First round pick.
I know.
No. The drop was fine.
No, you
drop
have,
was fine.
You have TMZ Sports. You know who Damon Arnett is. You've seen his mugshot.
You've seen his game. Yeah.
No, but as far as on like, the field.
Yeah, I just look at that. If Derek Stingley or Kamari Lassiter miss any time, I'm like right now,
even like 3 games. Like that's what I'm saying.
Like and I will even extend that to the safeties to a degree and nickel corner to a degree. Like right now, the starters in the secondary, I think you can make the argument that it's the best secondary in football.
Guy for guy, yeah.
At the very top of the depth chart.
Yeah.
But when you go one layer beyond that to guys that who are second and third in the depth chart of those positions, it quickly becomes, it quickly becomes what the Astros are putting out in their starting lineup right now.
Yes. I agree with that, you get to, is MJ Stewart still around?
I don't see him. He's listed as a backup at strong safety.
Okay, yeah, but you get to those guys pretty fast. So I understand what you're saying. The top end is just so good, but that I, you know, I'm willing to live with it. But you do have a point that the depth could be an issue there if it's tested at all. The thing I'm getting the side eye to, or the person that I'm giving the side eye to the most, we talked about it a little bit with how Nick Haley wants to orient his offense. It's Dalton Schultz.
Yeah, for sure.
I was talking to Will about this on Monday. Will Kunkel, who filled in for Paul on Monday, that week one, I expect Dalton Schultz to be the starter at tight end for the Houston Texans, and I'm fine with that. However, by week like 12, 13, 14, I wouldn't be mad if Cade Stover or Brevin Jordan have taken over that spot, and I kind of would be disappointed if they don't.
I think given I'd move that timeline even further up.
Yeah, week, given what we've seen from Schultz. Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I just want to give a Stover time as still a young player learning the position.
Especially tight end. Tight ends develop slower than almost any spot on the roster.
And he went to Ohio State, and he started at Ohio State playing defense. So he is very new to the tight end position. And Brevin Jordan coming off the injury. Just want to build in a little bit of buffer time. But yes, you are right. If by, let's just say, mid-October.
The bye week, which I think is six. Nine. Is it? No, it's week six?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll move it back. Then week eight. We'll just call it like halfway point of the year.
Yeah. No, to me, you kind of need those other guys to take Dalton Schultz's jobs. It's a little bit like the conversation we're having with the offensive line earlier with the second-round picks, especially Blake Fisher being in year two of like, Blake Fisher, you kind of do need to win the job out of camp or else you are in Kenyon Green zone pretty fast.
right.
Of like, this is not stiff competition. You probably should win this competition. That's where I'm at with the tight ends after Dalton Schultz, just given what we saw from Dalton Schultz at the end of last season where that guy was.
I mean,
that guy was just meat out there.
He's putting out alligator arms for catches. He's not trying on blocks. He might be the slowest human I've ever seen play professional football. Like, I just... It feels like Dalton Schultz got a bag of cash and then, you know, project shut down. Like, just like he's good.
Aged before our eyes.
He almost Miguel right Tejada'd us. Like, he got the contract and suddenly he was 2 years older.
Not
like, I don't know if he's legitimately 2 years older.
Yes. Not but, in the way where, like, you know, we had to update the player reference, reference page.
But he just looks 2 years older. He's running like a man who aged 2 years in a day once
Tejada
he got that new
bad,
contract.
By the way.
Sorry?
Tejada wasn't bad as an Astro.
Yeah.
For 1 year.
I know. Just, it's so much fun to talk about
how he aged two years in a day.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, to me, Dalton Schultz is the... You know, we're obviously excluding offensive line here because
we're not giving it a side eye. I should have mentioned that at the front. It's on the rundown, but I excluded the offensive line because it's way too
obvious. We're making eye contact with them. We don't trust you.
Yeah.
we do not trust you.
We're not trying to hide our suspicion or disdain at all when it comes to the offensive line. There's no side eye to kind of keep your intentions hidden. Like, no, we're directly mugging you.
I'm willing to say Cam Robinson. I don't believe
right
in
you. In their face. Well, not legit because they're huge men and they
no
us.
in this scenario,
in the safety
I'll
of
look
the
at
Gal
the
studios. Yeah. Cam Robinson, I'm suspicious of you. There, I said it. You want to take a turn?
Please don't rip me.
Don't rip my head off.
Lincoln right. Tomlinson.
You want to call out Lincoln Tomlinson? There's your camera right there. It's in the middle. You got it?
Yeah.
You washed? You call him washed?
I did it. I already did it. Wait, you want me to do it again?
No, call him more. Call out more. What do you got to say about Juice Scruggs?
Ed Ingram. Don't believe in you.
All right. Paul Gallant Show. Two segments left. Brian McDonald, Sean Mapes, AJ Russ with you here until 3 o'clock before we hand it over to Joel and Jeremy and the Killer Bees. When we get back, our leftover segment, pieces of audio that weren't big enough for a full segment, we're going to have fun with them anyway, including Paul Feinbaum taking some shots at Lincoln Riley. That one, the Paul Gallant Show, returns to ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
RIP to Ozzy Osbourne, the legend passing away yesterday. Thank you to AJ for getting in the Ozzy songs today. Had one in each hour. That was a tough one yesterday, but frankly, I mean, I think of a guy who lived that lifestyle to get to 76, I think you have to say he lived a long life.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, you can say that about a lot of rock stars, but I don't think many people viewing Ozzy's lifestyle thought he'd even make it to 76.
No,
so.
Definitely not. You know, over under 75 and a half probably would have been on the under.
You fired the under? Are you mad? You missed it? The Price Picks have that option?
Damn it. I did notice, though, like you said, we've played, what, two or three?
Three songs so far.
Today and during today's show. Obviously, we played
nine yesterday. Queen Ozzy and Black Sabbath, yeah.
Mm-hmm. None of those nine plus three, 12 songs have been War Pigs. Is that because you support all war?
Wow, this time you took a turn.
You don't agree with the message?
No, I initially had it on the list for yesterday. But it's because of the way it starts. There's just so much like talking without the music. Yeah, it's like I don't think it plays well for radio unless you like skip ahead in the song. So okay.
I try to have a gotcha.
Thank
moment,
you for trying to put me on being pro invasion.
We do send the poor. That's how this works.
That's how this works exactly. All right, the Astros. We'll get into the leftovers here and Paul Feinbaum in a second. But the Astros game starting here in just a few minutes. 2:40 start there and out in Arizona taking on the Diamondbacks in a finale and definitely what appears to be a getaway game. Already was a getaway game, but then you look at that starting lineup today. You mentioned this earlier, but I want to go ahead and read it out because this is definitely the personification of a getaway game, this lineup. Leading off, Taylor Trammell, followed by Victor Caratini hitting second, Christian Walker hitting third, Yonder Diaz in the cleanup, followed by Bryce Matthews, Mauricio Dubon, Cooper Hummel, Chaz McCormick, Shea Whitcomb. Like, if I think you made the joke during the break, like, if you, like, the day before the season started, went into a coma, woke up just in time to see Jeremy Branham ask, what's wrong with Joe Espada's lineup?
You'd be like, a lot.
And it's this lineup, like, what the hell happened? Like, I mean, yeah, like.
I might start thinking some Jerry Jones thoughts.
Yeah. Like, someone to get hit by a car.
Someone had to get hit by a car at some point.
Astros apparently had 17 players hit by a car this year. That's how many they have on the injured list. Yeah, it was a whole bus. But yeah, Shea Whitcomb, Cooper Hummel. Oh, God. Taylor Trammell's actually been playing decently. But like.
Leading off, though.
leading off. In the way Christian Walker's actually been hot. But like Christian Walker and Yonder Diaz, with the way they've been overall this season, being your 3 and 4, just my God. And then obviously Caratini's been a hot streak. But what lineup would you have ever wanted to construct? You know, from a beginning of the season perspective, where Victor Caratini is your two hole.
Do you think he's bad second in his entire life? Before
I'm sure it's happened. It has to happen, but it can't be. Yeah, I know what you're saying. Like, it's God, they need so many people back. They need a trade. They need people back. They need some witchcraft. They need a lot of things going on. All right, let's get it into a fight that seems to keep going forever and ever. Paul Feinbaum taking shots at Lincoln Riley. This was on Dari's show, I believe, on ESPN Radio. But Paul Feinbaum, just as a, oh, by the way, on the way out, as the segment was like trying to wrap up, takes this shot at Lincoln Riley.
But I want to say one thing before I go. The thing that I'm most excited about Big Ten Media Days is I want to hear Lincoln Riley try to explain his last 2 years, because I can't think of anybody's whose coaching has been more fraudulent since his first year with Caleb Williams. And I say that as somebody who admired what Lincoln Riley did at OU. I didn't admire the way he left, but I really think, and I know a lot of people are still gnashing teeth in Norman and Oklahoma City and across that state, but I frankly believe the Sooner Nation is better off today than it would have been had he stayed around, because there is something wrong with this guy, Dorian. I know we don't have time. I know we're at the end of the segment, but I did want to close on that note. I am underwhelmed, and I can't think of a coach in modern time who's making the kind of money that he's making who has done less.
The drive-by there at the end, like something's wrong with this guy. Like, he was fine when he's pointing out, like, the last 2 years have been disappointing. 8-4, 7-5, certainly disappointing off of the year he had with Caleb Williams when Caleb won the Heisman. Completely fair to say that, you know, they've disappointed that Lincoln Riley isn't winning at the amount that you would hope he would for the money he's being paid. But oh, by the way, I know we don't have time for this, but let me just drop this bomb as we go to break. He's not a good person? Like,
No.
No, sorry, what?
I don't know what's wrong with him.
I don't know what's wrong with him yet. Like, that was bizarre from Paul Feinbaum, making me think it's something personal here.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Has to be, right?
I mean, like, the yada yadding the 55-10 record that he had in Oklahoma, yeah. Being like, I think Oklahoma's better off without him. Like,
they've got Brent Venables now, which, by the way, spoiler alert, like, maybe we'll talk about more about this tomorrow. There's odds out for the first Power Four coach fired.
Yeah,
you think Brent Venables is high on that list? Yes, of course he is. He's like, I think third or fourth in that list. Hugh Freeze obviously up there as well.
And just like he's had three Heisman winning quarterbacks as a head coach.
Yes.
I mean, no doubt about it. He's disappointed since Caleb left the program, since his first year at USC, where they did play for the Pac-12 championship game. Like they played in that game. They would have made
when the Pac-12 existed.
Yeah, they would have played in the college football playoff that year if they won that game. And Caleb Williams got hurt in that game, so it's like they're not that far away from being in the
current playoff in format. Might have made it anyway.
In the Final Four format,
yeah,
they
I know.
Made
I'm just
it.
Saying, like even when the Caleb getting hurt and losing that game, like they
would have.
Yeah, like in the 12 game format.
Yeah. But yeah, I this is obviously something that is just an X that he has to grind.
Has to be
with Lincoln Riley, and Lincoln Riley is in a situation where at USC, like it is kind of put up or shut up time. We talked about, or you mentioned the Brent Venables high on those hot seat rankings. Right next to him is Lincoln Riley on a lot of them.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah, so I he does need, like, it's one of those things where Paul Feinbaum is right. Like, what he's saying is correct, but he's kind of wrong for saying it in the way that he said in the, like you said, drive-by manner.
I think that was the thing that caught my ear the most, was the drive. It was just out of nowhere, and just like, something's wrong with this guy. It's like, yeah, he's won three different Heismans, especially in the parting shot of, OU's better off with Brent Venables. I don't know. Go ask an OU fan. You go ask an OU fan if they're better off with Brent Venables than Lincoln Riley, who, I mean, I'd have to pull up OU's record year by year, Brent Venables, but I'm sure he's barely above 500. Like, he's been, he's like a 7-5 coach basically each year. So.
Lincoln Riley won the Big 12 the first 3 years he was a head coach.
Yeah. Like, what are we talking about? Like, it has to be something personal because there's, look, 8-4, 7-5 in the 2 years following Caleb winning the Heisman, certainly disappointing. No argument about that. Paul Feinbaum's completely on point. Just everything he said after that point was it feels like you're
personal.
Yeah, it feels like you're grinding an axe here. This doesn't feel like we're really talking ball anymore. We're talking about a relationship or something that was said behind the scenes that we're not privy to. All right, one more segment to go. We got to get out so we can hand it over to the Killer Bees with Joel and Jeremy at 3:00. When we get back, it'll be time for Garbage Time. Brian McDonald, Sean Mapes, AJ Russell here with you on ESPN Radio 97.5 and
92.5. Oh, I love trash.
Garbage Time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Welcome back into the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. Brian McDonald, Sean Mapes, AJ Russ with you for one more segment. We'll be back on Friday. But tomorrow you can go check out Will Kunkel and Joe George filling in for Paul Gallant and the Killer Bees, Joel and Jeremy, out at Cadillac Grill on Shepherd as a part of our Summer Circuit Series. So make sure and go out and say hello. But now, Sean, it's time for Garbage Time. Time to have a little fun with the weird and wacky news stories taking over the interwebs.
Thank you for explaining garbage.
Yeah, no, that's how professional I am. So, headline, I feel like I could do a Granado thing. You think it's okay. Headline, resourceful firefighter floods baseball field, forcing cancellation of game after a punk kid. This is part of the headline.
That's editorializing.
After a punk kid hit his pickup truck with a batting practice home run. Now, the headline is from Barstool, so there's a little editorial.
What'd the kid do wrong?
Well, apparently in Maryland, a firefighter, again, flooded the high school baseball field after a home run ball struck his personal car. The Montgomery County Fire and Rescue had to issue an apology.
Of course.
What are we After an incident involving a water discharge near a fire station and a community baseball field, which led to the cancellation of a scheduled game on Thursday, July 17th. According to the newspaper or TV station, a baseball team claimed that a firefighter had sprayed down a field at the high school.
I saw video. He did it.
Yeah.
He did it.
At the high school in Maryland on Thursday after a ball hit his car during pregame practice, went over the fence and struck his pickup truck parked at the fire station, Silver Spring Fire 16. I feel like you guys sometimes do a segment called How Far Is Too Far?
Yes, Thursday.
We could have easily done this in that segment because this is too far. Yeah, like if you sit...
What did the kid do wrong?
Right. Well, one, yes.
he hit a home run in batting practice. It happened to hit because of, you know, we've all been to Little League fields.
Yeah,
where,
they're
like,
small.
Yeah, your car is probably in danger. He didn't try to do it. B, if he tried to do it and succeeded, get this kid a scholarship.
Yeah, really. Really. But, I put this on the firefighter, that his car got hit. Like, one, the kid's not aiming, like you said. But, two, if you're parking behind the fence, an outfield fence at a baseball field, whether it be Little League or college or whatever, you should have some reasonable, maybe I should move my car to the side. Obviously, once you get up to the professional level and the stands are so high, that worry goes away. But any place where the fence is just a chain link fence that's 5 feet high, if you're that first row of the parking lot, maybe go back a few rows.
Yeah.
This is on you. Put your car in a better spot.
Yeah, when I, my first year at Texas, I parked in a parking lot that's right by the baseball and softball stadium.
Right.
And
did you get hit?
No.
Oh, okay.
I didn't park in the first couple rows, right in
exactly.
center
move,
field.
Yeah. Move a little bit back.
That's all you had to do. So, what the hell's wrong with this firefighter? That's crazy.
We could also add this guy to soft boys. This is your reaction. A kid hits your car with the baseball. It's not like he totaled it.
No.
It's not like he ran into you in the back on the way to a soccer man's remote, happens to some brave Americans.
It does happen
on
to
Tuesday
some
nights on
people.
290.
Yeah,
no brave Americans. I said it. Brave Americans.
Some Americans.
Some brave Americans. Say the full line. Say the full line. It's some brave Americans. All right, another headline. This is the most Florida thing I think I've ever read. Headline: Florida man arrested for DUI on lawnmower along toll road. Do you think you should be allowed to drive drunk on a lawnmower, Sean? I'm going full Granato here.
Not on a road.
Not on a road? Oh, okay.
I mean, no. But also, especially not on a road.
Yeah. Like, if it's in the privacy of your own field, front yard.
Your own backyard.
Backyard. Yeah.
I don't really care.
I don't know if you...
I'm not here to
have you throw a few back. Maybe the lines of your cut on the lawn get a little squiggly, but
normally
whatever.
Normally people wait until after they finish mowing the lawn, but
especially since St. Arnold's has a beer called Lawnmower, I could see someone tipping back a few lawnmowers while riding along on their riding lawnmower.
Yeah, I mean...
I'm not here to judge. As long as it's not on a road with real cars and passengers.
I was going to say part of this is that it was a toll road, and I'm just going to guess he doesn't have a sticker on his lawnmower.
So in addition to the charges, he's also going to get something in the mail in a few weeks. Like, hey, you didn't pay your 75 cents for going through the toll lane. Yeah, man.
He's the FHP said Christopher Spain, 38. Showed several signs of impairment. No kidding.
No. At what point in the decision making do you have to get? I think by the point where he's deciding to drive on a tollway with a lawnmower, he's obviously going to go. He's obviously going to show signs of impairment.
Oh, maybe it wasn't some IPAs.
You don't think it was IPAs?
No. He showed signs of impairment, including small pupils, flushed skin, dry mouth, and visible irritation to the inside of his nose.
Inside of his nose. So there may be an additional substance being ingested?
He also had a small blue straw in his back pocket, according to troopers. Repeatedly cleared his throat, sniffed and spit during the traffic stop.
Yep. I think he did more than just the lawnmowers. I think you're right. I think there might have been a little booger sugar involved here. Florida.
Wouldn't be
stay
shocked.
Weird, Florida.
Yeah. I'd be shocked. No, so you definitely can't do that.
No, I think that's
on a toll.
Yeah, yeah. That's where I draw the line. Like if you wanna shoot up some cocaine and throw back a lawnmower in the safety of your own backyard.
It's America.
It's America. You're free to do so.
It's Florida, especially.
I'm proud to be American. You can do coke in your backyard. I'll say it right here. That's my stance.
It's not even against the HOAs in Florida to do that.
No, they would encourage it. I think that's part of the charm of living in Florida, especially if it's Central Florida. All right, you have one more addition I think you wanted to throw in here to Garbage Time.
Yes, this comes from the
Should we have some sad music?
The world of college football. Texas A&M announced that its mascot, Reveille, has been diagnosed with glaucoma in her right eye, and surgeons have removed the eye, and she is now resting comfortably and is expected to be back this fall.
What about a gamer! The ultimate dog, Reveille.
With an eye patch?
Oh, that'd be sick.
They gotta give her an eye patch.
See, I didn't read the full story.
I was
about to mock Reveille, and then you said she had her eye removed. I was like, okay, all right, backtrack, Brian, backtrack. I cannot make fun of a dog who had his eye removed. Let's reel it back a little bit.
Yes, very good that I was the one back.
What a gamer. I mean, it got the eye removed in July and is going to be on the field in September?
That's what it looks like.
Screw Ronnie Lott cutting off his own finger. Reveille lost an eye. She's going to be out there on game day.
The surgery was successful. That's always good to know. We hear it after every surgery.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, how many times do surgeons say it's not successful? Like, I think, I'm not saying they're all the Astros medical team, but I feel like they say it's successful far more than it actually is.
Yeah, looks like she'll be back this fall.
Hopefully it was for Reveille.
Looks like she'll be back this fall. The statement says that hopefully she'll be back this fall. How about that?
I hope we don't have a regression. I hope Reveille doesn't have a Yordan Alvarez where they put her out there with a 60% healed eye socket.
That's bad.
Man, are they going to put out Reveille on the field with one eye? They really going to do that?
Got to do an eye patch.
Yeah, like, what do you do? Like, you can't just put her out there with one eye, right? I mean, that
grosses people out. But, like, no. It's not what matters, but it grosses people out.
Well, I know. I'm not saying it's not shallow, but, yeah, like, you going to put her out there with one eye?
Yeah, and you can't do a glass eye because that's not cool.
No,
throw on an eye patch. Eye patch on a dog.
Eye patches for dogs? Well, I guess we'll find out.
They have a great veterinary program.
They do, I've heard. Yeah, maybe they could put the A&M logo on the eye patch.
Now we're cooking.
All right, that'll do it for the Paul Gallant Show. Thanks to Sean Mapes and AJ Russ. I've been Brian Donald. We'll be back on Friday. Don't go anywhere because the Killer Bees with Joel and Jeremy up next. ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. Peace.